The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
In my previous episode in this series on the calling of the laity, the apostolate of the laity in today's church crisis, I shared a little bit about my own story, my own experience of helping a parish be rid of a very abusive, very hurtful, very sinful priest. And we did it through the power of the rosary. I mentioned briefly how we did it through what I call a rosary walkathon. I want to go into this in more depth in this episode because I want to suggest it as a way that you can help the church be purified. Whether you are in a parish that is run by a holy priest or not, we are all called to get involved, to be a community, the body of Christ on earth, fighting against Satan's strategies. Satan has been infiltrating our church, trying to and succeeding in driving people out of the church, making people lose faith, and we need to bring holiness back to our holy church. It starts with you and me working on our own faith walks to grow in holiness. But we are also called to challenge others to holiness, especially when they are in positions of being the shepherd. They've been called to be the good shepherd for us. They are called to be Jesus for us, but they have become pawns of Satan. So what we need to do, all of us, is to take some kind of action. I've heard from many people saying, what can I do? You know, this problem is much bigger than myself. And you know, what can I do? I don't have a voice that's heard. You do have a voice that's heard. It's heard by God. And the Rosary Walkathon is something that everybody can do. And I'm going to go now into detail about how it's done. It's not just about praying the rosary. It's about doing it in the spirit of Christ. It's doing it in the spirit of power. It's doing it in the spirit of holiness. That's what makes it effective. The first thing we need to do when we are in a situation where we are aware that our priest, you know, and this could be anybody in church leadership, but I'm going to use the example of a priest who is more like a wolf in sheep's clothing than a good shepherd driving out the wolf. But you can apply this to any degree of problems that exist in your parish and any source of the problems. Jesus told us what to do in Matthew 18. This section in Scripture, by the way, is called Dealing with Sin in the Church. That's the subtitle. Dealing with Sin in the Church. Jesus said, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. And, you know, in the body of Christ, your pastor is your brother. Go and point out their fault just between the two of you. But how do you do that? With love, with concern for his own salvation. I'm going to interrupt that scripture to read something else. This comes from Hebrews chapter 10. If we sin deliberately, after receiving knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a flaming fire that is going to consume the adversaries. this is the fate of priests who are deep in sin and don't want to repent from it. This is the case of priests who are in positions of power and are perpetuating the strategies of Satan. Anyone who deliberately, after receiving knowledge of the truth, the gospel, deliberately sins, he has judgment and a flaming fire as his future. This scripture from Hebrews 10 goes on and says, "Do you not think that a much worse punishment is due the one who has contempt for the Son of God?" So the challenge for you and me in this scripture is, do we care enough about the soul of the sinning priest to want to pray for his own redemption? We need to get past our own anger of, you know, how he has made me feel, and be more concerned about his soul than our feelings about it. You know, our desire for revenge, because further down in the scripture from Hebrews 10, God says, "Vengeance is mine and I will repay. The Lord is the one who judges. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Because we do care about everybody, including the worst priests in the world, including the ones that are making you frustrated, remember, your job is to pray for his salvation. It's God's job to decide whether or not to judge this man and what kind of afterlife he's going to have. Further down in Hebrews 10, starting with verse 32 now. "Remember the days past when, after you've been enlightened, you've endured a great contest of suffering." Okay, we've all been enlightened lately about the evils going on in the church that have been hidden for many years. "And we've endured suffering." Now, here's your calling, my friend. The scripture says, "At times you were publicly exposed to abuse and affliction. At other times you associated yourselves with those so treated. You even joined in the sufferings of those in prison," imprisoned by the abuses of priests, we could say here, "and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, knowing that you had a better and lasting possession." In other words, what are you willing to give up to join yourself to those who are suffering from the abuses of clergy and from Satan infiltrating the church and giving us wolves in sheep's clothing? The Rosary Walkathon is something that, if you're going to do it, you commit to doing it until it is no longer necessary. And I'd like to continue reading from Hebrews 10 about this. "Therefore," if my friend, if you feel like giving up at any point, "therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he has promised." And he has promised. He has promised to give us a good shepherd. He has promised to give us a church that is holy. That's the church he created. And he has promised to heal the church. The scripture continues, "For after just a brief moment," it is in the scheme of eternity, what we're going through, it may have been going on for many years, but it's still a brief moment. And your commitment to doing the Rosary Walkathon is still a brief moment in time, even if it lasts for years. "For after just a brief moment, he who is to come shall come. He shall not delay." Jesus shall not delay. Your Rosary Walkathon is going to make a difference. "But," the scripture says, "my just one shall live by faith." And he's talking about you. Are you his holy one? "And if he draws back, I take no pleasure in him." Okay? You are being called, my friend, to be holy and to make a commitment to praying the Rosary Walkathon or whatever else God is calling you to do, until it is no longer necessary. "We," the scripture says, "are not among those who draw back and perish, but among those who have faith and will possess life." Getting back to Matthew chapter 18. "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you." That's the first step. if you can't do this in person because it is truly an abusive priest who won't listen to you and you're intimidated by him, write a letter. Send him a letter. In my situation years ago, that was what I did. And I wrote multiple letters. The first letter received a response that was just, you know, trying to placate me. And he obviously, the priest was not really responding to what I had said. I had said it in love. I had said it with politeness. I had said it with respect for his priesthood. I should say with respect for his calling to be a good shepherd. And I wrote it with giving him a benefit of the doubt, trusting, hoping, believing that somewhere inside of him, he wanted to be a good priest. I drew to his attention what people were saying about him and what I'd observed that was disturbing. And I invited him to choose the path of repentance and to be the holy shepherd that God was calling him to be. And I said it in a non-condemning way. But the answer I got back, obviously he didn't care what I said. So I wrote a couple of more letters just to be clear. Then here's what Jesus says to do. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Well, there were already other people who were trying to get through to this priest, but because he was so intimidating, most of them went directly to the bishop. And that's what the next step says. If they still refuse, the sinner still refuses to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. In other words, someone who isn't in the church. This is calling for excommunication. Jesus is saying if they refuse to listen to the church, they're excommunicating themselves, and you need to treat them as in the reality of what they've already chosen for themselves. In this scripture, when you tell it to the church, this is not just talking about church hierarchy, because, you know, like going to the bishop, which is the next step that we took, and I do recommend that you take. But think about this. The church is all of us. What if you take it to the hierarchy of the church and they don't listen? As has happened. As what happened in the case of my own story that I'm sharing. Jesus meant the whole church. And that is not just the people of the church, but the teachings of the church. It includes the faithful who teach the true teachings of the church. And if sinners refuse to listen to the truth, the truth of Scripture, the truth of church teachings, which are based on Scripture, they have chosen to excommunicate themselves, and we need to accept that and treat them as such. We don't excommunicate them. That's not our place. But in fact, they have excommunicated themselves by choosing to go against the teachings of the church, by choosing to disunify themselves from the church. And Jesus said that's how we're to treat them. But how did Jesus treat tax collectors? How did Jesus treat the pagans around him? He loved them. He invited them whenever he had the opportunity to trade up to something much better. He invited them to repent. He invited them to discover the salvation that he offered, the love of God that comes through that salvation. So what happened in my case, that my story that I'm sharing, is I then joined the voices of others who were writing to the bishop. And again, you do it with much respect. Let me share with you a piece of what I wrote to the bishop. And I wrote to him more than once because I didn't get any responses back. And each time doing it with love, with purifying myself to be as holy as I could be before writing this letter, going to confession, going to daily mass in order to use the penitential rite of mass to purify myself before writing anything. I said to the bishop, please assure me and my fellow parishioners and all the people of the diocese that no abuses of any sort will be tolerated, and that you will take appropriate action for people of all ages when any abuses occur repeatedly and without repentance. I thank you for taking seriously any credible report of abused minors and offering the victims and their parents and families pastoral assistance and counseling, because he had come out and said that this is what he was doing. So I thanked him for doing that. However, I added, such assistance is sometimes needed when the victim is an adult. Please assure us that the recovery needs of adult victims will no longer be ignored and neglected. Even if we can heal without your help, care enough to communicate with us and keep us informed of what is being done about the problems that we report. I said a few more things, and then I said, please take decisive action against all forms of abuse in the church. And then I told him that we were going to take things to the next step if he didn't do anything. We were going to take our plea to the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and then on to the Vatican. Steps that we did take, each one of those steps ignored. I doubt the Pope ever saw the letters that we from that parish wrote, but the office of the secretariat that was in charge of dealing with abuses may have gotten it, but we never heard anything back from them. I don't know that they even got it. It had to go through the papal nuncio of the United States to get there. Anyways, I said to the bishop, I cannot in good conscience sit idly by taking the abuse and watching others get hurt. Some of the people of the parish are feeling desperate enough to make the media aware of the abuses. Although we don't want to cause scandal by taking our church problems to the world, we are not the originators of the scandal. The scandal is already occurring in the lack of protection that the parish has received from the long-standing abuses of this priest. Will you protect us and all who are entrusted to your care from all forms of abuses by clergy? And I never got an answer to that. So we decided that we were going to the next step, the Rosary Walkathon. We were going to do it. And the first step that I say to you, to do the Rosary Walkathon, let your priest know that you are doing this praying of the Rosary every day, you and the other people who are going to do it with you. You're doing it because you're praying for him. And if he's a priest who appreciates that the church needs this kind of help, great. You can tell him even more. But if it's somebody who you can't say more to because he's part of the problem, then just say, we're praying for you and for the renewal of the church, the whole church. Then start doing the rosary. Go to confession. Go to daily mass if it's available to keep yourself purified, to keep yourself holy. Because when we pray in a state of grace, when we pray in the holiness of the Holy Spirit, we have much more effectiveness. We have God's power at work much more fully in us as we do the rosary. Then you walk the perimeter of the campus saying the rosary, the perimeter of the church property, saying the rosary as many decades as it takes to get all the way around to do one complete circuit. Do it with others, at least one other person, so that when you're not able to do it, the other person will always be there. It will always be done every day. You can, in my case, we did it Monday through Friday. You decide as a team whether you're, and pray about it first. Are you going to do it every day of the week? Are you going to do it Monday through Friday? And you do that, rain or shine, hot weather, cold weather, until it's no longer necessary to do. Let me share some more about my own experience. I learned that we have a right to do this. We have a right to speak up. And we have a right to pray when speaking up doesn't make a difference. I mean, it seems rather obvious that we have a right to pray. But I tell you that in the case that I'm talking about, my own experience, the priest actually asked us to stop praying the rosary. And we just chuckled to ourselves and said, right, he's going to make us, that says a lot right there that he doesn't want us praying the rosary, okay? So, but we just continued praying the rosary. And I think he realized that he could not do anything about it. There were no repercussions that we suffered because it was going to make him look awfully guilty if he made us stop praying the rosary. Because word had spread. You know, we started with just two of us and more people joined us. And word spread. People asked, what are you doing? And we explained it in very loving terms. And some of them then joined us. Some of them wanted to, out of their anger, go directly to the media. And we worked to calm him down or them down. We worked to say, let's try prayer first. And, you know, we need to, if someone says to us out of anger, I've got to do something right now with this anger, we need to challenge them to go to confession, not to the priest who's causing them the anger, but we need to challenge them to get into a holy place, a peaceful place where it's truly purified anger, righteous anger, not wanting retaliation, but wanting the priest who is abusive to be delivered from it. Not just for the parish's sake, but for his own sake. But anyways, getting back to what I wanted to say about our right and duty. It comes right out of canon law. Canon law number 212 says in paragraph 3 that we who are Christ's faithful, quote, have the right, indeed at times the duty, in keeping with their knowledge, competence, and position, to manifest to the sacred pastors their views on matters which concern the good of the church. They have the right also to make their views known to others of Christ's faithful. But in doing so, they must always respect the integrity of faith and morals, including our own morality about how we don't judge. We let judgment up to God. But we do this out of love. Anyways, go back to what canon law says. Must always respect the integrity of faith and morals, show due reverence to the pastors, and take into account both the common good and dignity of individuals. This includes the dignity of the priest who is corrupted by Satan, who is a wolf in sheep's clothing, or who is sinning in much, much smaller ways and is basically a good priest, but, you know, needs to change his ways in something, okay? And as, by the way, I want to emphasize, as I said before, most priests are not in need of this kind of prayer. Most priests are holy priests. Most priests don't know how to handle the situation themselves. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place. How do they lead their parishioners to do what canon law invites them to do what scripture invites and calls them to do, what God is calling us to do? How do they speak up without getting themselves into trouble? But more and more priests and bishops are priests. So more and more pastors of parishes and bishops are getting the courage. They're feeling the calling. They're hearing it and responding to speak up against what is evil in the church. If you've got a priest doing that, if you know a priest doing that, support them, give them kudos, and pray for them as well. If you come to my website, you will find a packet that you can download that includes rules of how to do this in a holy way and therefore an effective way. You know, orders, religious orders, have the rule, like we know about the rule of Saint Benedict. This is the rule of the Rosary Walkathon. I've touched on in this podcast some of those rules. It involves our own being humble. It involves our own commitment. And nobody who does this Rosary Walkathon should do it without first agreeing to these rules, because we need to stay as guiltless as we want our priests to be. Love your enemy, Jesus said. Do good to those who hurt you. do good to those who take advantage of you. That's from the Sermon on the Mount. We need to put that into practice with full zeal for kicking Satan out of our church. There is a demon that is the wolf. There's an archdemon who wants to be the wolf in charge of our parishes, in charge of our faith, to destroy us from within. There are demonic spirits trying to interfere with every parish. There are holy angels trying to help every parish. We are in the middle of a battle. We are called to participate in that battle. And the best thing we can do is pray the rosary and any other prayers that the Holy Spirit leads you to do. And speak up. Let it be known that you are no longer riding the fence or wearing blinders. When we did this rosary walkathon years ago, there were people of the parish who said, "Why are you doing this? He's a priest after all." Why we did it was because evil was there. We took our blinders off. The enemy wants us to wear blinders. We need to speak up compassionately and say, "No more, no more silence. We are going to take action. We are going to pray, and we are going to invite others to pray." If we can get this rosary walkathon spread throughout the world, imagine what will happen. Imagine. In my own story, we finally got the answer to our prayers. There was a priest who worked out of the bishop's office who knew me, and I knew him for many years. And he called me up and said, "Terry, why are you doing this?" He had only heard this abusive priest side of the story. I told him the truth. His first reaction was, "I can't get involved in that." And I said, "Father, you are involved because now you know the truth." He did get involved. And in the end, this abusive priest was taken out of this parish. I would like to say that he was defrocked like he's supposed to be, or he repented and changed like he's really supposed to be, or was really supposed to do. But that's not what happened. The cover-ups, the continuation, the allowing things to continue, this priest turned out to be an example of that. This one parish was delivered from him. Another parish ended up getting him, but not forever. But still, this priest was then given a position of authority in the diocese that he should never have been given, you know, in a diocesan office. It goes on and on. It has been going on for years. It's been going on for longer than we've been aware. We became first aware of it really in 2001 when the sex abuses of minors, that scandal broke. But it was going on long before that. And it is still going on. And Jesus is saying, enough is enough. Will you take a stand? Will you fight this battle? Will you choose the walk of holiness? And will you lead others to holiness? And will you pray for the holiness of the church to be restored and the demons to be delivered out of it, cast out of the church? Will you choose God's side and fight this battle? Pray with me now. Come, Holy Spirit, I have heard the call. Come, Holy Spirit. If I am afraid, be my courage. If I'm intimidated by the priests, give me your holy boldness. If I am reluctant to believe that you are calling me, then make it clear by filling me with a zeal, filling me even with suffering, if that's what it's going to take, filling me with the righteous anger that makes me want to get involved. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, when I have said no not me. Forgive me for being afraid. Forgive me for wanting to put blinders on and not believe that it's as bad as it is. Forgive me for my own sins, for my own self-centeredness, for my own abuse of others through unkind words or maybe even worse. Forgive me for the sins that I've committed that I see in others and I want them to stop sinning. Lord Jesus, I ask you to intercede for me to our Father to help me to grow in holiness. Come, Holy Spirit. You have my permission to change me. Help me to be holy, because this is why Jesus gave you to me. This is why I received you in my baptism. I'm called to be holy, and through that holiness, I am called to speak the truth and lead others to holiness. Come, Holy Spirit, use me. Amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.